Well, when you hear of laws, you might think they are made to be broken. Or you might be fearful of breaking them, so you aim to keep the laws. Various people over the years have complained to me about laws that have been made, ranging from closing roads, the ineffectiveness of a prison, the weaknesses of Centrelink, or other things. Now, some people can be quite aggressive in their views about certain laws and assert that the lawmaker is stupid and selfish, just lazy to look like they're doing something, or even that the person is evil for making that law. Now, the claim could be correct, but knowing all the reasons behind the formation of a law is generally not that straightforward. Now, I also do hear of commendations of laws that have been made, but from memory, I hear more of complaints than commendations, which is sad to say. Well, today I want to see as a result of what I share that we would commend God's laws highly and that we would do our best to uphold God's laws. Now, in practice, what could that look like? Well, I think first and foremost that we would seek to live for Jesus in all facets of life. Now, I'm going to give some application to your life throughout the sermon today as I go through the Ten Commandments. And I want us to remember this clear truth that God is to be obeyed. God is to be obeyed. We need to know this truth intimately. God isn't to be ignored or sometimes obeyed when it suits us. God is to be obeyed in all aspects of our lives. Now, you might wonder why. Well, we're going to think about these Ten Commandments God gave his people as recorded for us in the book of Exodus. And this is the last of our preaching series, as Daniel said, focusing in on the book of Exodus. And so far, we've heard of Israel, God's people, being freed from slavery in Egypt. It was huge for them. And they arrive at Mount Sinai, and God came down to meet them in fire. God showed his power and his holiness. And no one could meet God face to face and live because they and we are sinful. They and we don't always obey God. But God decides to give commands to his people to teach them how to live for him. Now, you might feel as though having more time to reflect on each command would be better. So if you have further questions, then come and chat with me afterwards or send me an email or chat to someone else today. As Daniel mentioned, please have a Bible with you as we go through Exodus chapter 20. Firstly, God's commands are good for us. Now, God's statement before the commandments are given is this: I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Only one God. Not a multitude of gods, as the Hindu religion would lead you to believe, or even the ancient Roman and Greek religions. Many religions have multiple gods. But one God who rules over all, who's good, right, and holy. And this God saved his people from the place of slavery, a rescuing God. And Jesus is the Son of God and the same God as described in Exodus. Not multiple gods, but one God. Jesus and his Father are at peace with one another and the Holy Spirit is with them. Now, whereas other religions with multiple gods are depicting gods fighting each other for power, not sure who's in complete control. So the question might come is, will justice be done for all the wrong done in this earth with a view of multiple gods? But God teaches quite clearly that there is one sovereign God who is good and holy, and he will bring justice. There will be punishment for those who do wrong and live against God. And this God keeps his promises and will save his people. So to the commandments. First command, you shall have no other gods before me. So just in case you missed that there is only one God, God reinforces it quite clearly. We're not to have any other gods, only one true God. So you can't worship God and say you also worship the God of the Quran. Or you can't worship Jesus and then say you also worship Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's only one God. The God presented in the Quran is not the same as the God of the Bible, the one true God. Jesus is the Son of God, but the Quran doesn't acknowledge this. You can't worship the God of any other religion and say you're also a Christian because you also worship Jesus. There's only one God and only one way to the Father, through Jesus. So salvation is only possible through Jesus and no one else. We need to hear and remember that we're not to have any other gods. Second command. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. There's a bit more length in this one. Well, we're not to make anything and say that's our God or serve a created thing by giving it supreme authority, which only God should rightfully receive. And our God is a jealous God and does not want any of you making up something that replaces him. Your first love is meant to be God. We are to live for him, not something we make up. Now, your idols can come in many forms. It's not just something that's a statue in front of you. It could be your car or your boat. You could make your car more important than knowing God, or think that whatever you do with your car is completely up to you. Doesn't matter what God thinks about it. Or maybe how you take a break from work. You think whatever I do in my break time to relax from work is my business. God doesn't need to direct me in relaxing and resting in Jesus. So various idols we can make in our lives that replace God's rightful place of being our supreme God. So I've had various idols in my life, such as entertainment, movies, books, food, relationship, intimacy, sport, comfort, and power. A long list, actually. Putting something in the place of God is creating an idol. So the more we seek Jesus, the more we become aware of the idols that our hearts desire. And it's important to remember, as this command emphasizes, that idolatry doesn't just affect us either, but our children and generations to come. So God wants us to work hard to love him and obey him because he loves us and wants us to live for him. Third command. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. How many times have you heard the name of Jesus misused? Too many to count for me. Many times God is misused as if he doesn't have much significance. Now, why do people do it? Now, there could be various reasons, I suppose. But I think that, well, people are thinking they're in a position of power to mock Jesus or God by using his name as a swear word or just flippantly. There is an arrogance to think that whatever we say doesn't have consequences. There will indeed be consequences for misusing the name of our God. To use God's name, the name of Jesus, in a mocking or flippant manner means the one in the wrong is guilty. And being guilty before God deserves punishment. Jesus is the only one we can come to be saved from punishment. And that means humble adoration of Jesus. Fourth command. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now this law was serious for the Israelites, well, I suppose as they all are, but this one particularly, that if you were to work on the seventh day, it was a death sentence. You'd be killed. This law is grounded in the conviction that we need to rest and celebrate God. And this law, as we heard, is also grounded in creation. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. He rested on the seventh day. It's good to remember, he rested. He's not just a working God, he rests. And what's behind this word rest in the scriptures? Well, it's not primarily actually about sleeping. It's primarily about just delighting in what you've done. He delighted in what he had made. And through Jesus, we can rest in him and celebrate all that he has done. Now, there's freedom now because of Jesus to keep a Sabbath, because our rest is in him, primarily through trusting in him. So you won't be killed for not keeping a Sabbath, as the Israelites experienced. But why wouldn't you have a Sabbath before the Lord Jesus? That's an important question to consider. I know I need to do a better job at keeping a Sabbath and particularly leading my family in this. Keeping a Sabbath is a good aim. It's a good aim to have and to plant it into your life, into your weeks. But we're not to go about judging one another on how good we are at keeping a Sabbath. We encourage one another to rest in Jesus. Just final comment on the Sabbath. Well, what does no work for you look like? Well, firstly, I think it's good and helpful to go back to the Old Testament and read what the Israelites did, what that looked like for them. But now Sabbath with Jesus is primarily celebrating him, resting in him, loving him, worshipping him, because he suffered and died for us to give us life. Right, so the fifth commandment now. Honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, you might have the worst mum and dad or the best mum and dad, but God says you are to honour them either way. Now, that could be really hard or really enjoyable. What does honour look like? Well, as a child, that means obeying your mum and dad out of obeying God. Only obeying your parents when what is required isn't disobeying God and turning against him. So your mum and dad, they tell you to clean your room well. Will you clean your room promptly and without complaint? Now, honouring your mum and dad as an adult means not forgetting about them, but actively caring for them. Out of love for them, you seek to help your mum and dad to keep God as their one true God, or to help them consider Jesus, think more about him. Honouring your mother and father means not seeking to shame them and bring their name down. Sixth command, you shall not murder. Well, this command's quite clear. Don't go out to kill people just because you want to. And this stems from an evil intent to make life easier for yourself. This is not regarding the pursuit of justice or protecting the vulnerable. But it's also important to note that Jesus said that even if you are angry with your brother or sister, which includes fellow believers in Jesus, then we would be subject to judgment. So God wants life and not death, which is why he sent Jesus to earth. God wants peace and not anger towards one another. So give thanks to God for people rather than dwell on their problems, because dwelling on problems or how people treat you leads to thinking murderous or angry thoughts. To the seventh command, you shall not commit adultery. So what's behind this? Well, it's remembering the importance of marriage in God's eyes. Marriage, according to God, is between a man and a woman for life. So on this earth, if you get married, then God has designed marriage so that you stay together till death. That's God's design. And marriage before God is meant to be good and delightful. Committing adultery means ignoring God's plan for marriage. And committing adultery is having sexual relations with another person who you're not married to. Becoming physically intimate with another, according to God, is wrong outside of marriage. And it's important to say as well that marriage is between a man and a woman. So seeking marriage between two people of the same sex is also committing adultery according to our God and our Creator. And in this, we need to remember that God's commands are good for us. They're good. Eighth command, you shall not steal. God has given us the ability to own possessions that ultimately belong to Him. We're not to cause mistrust by stealing from what others have. Stealing from other people instills a lack of trust and a breakdown of relationships. God calls us to share what we have, but stealing is demonstrating laziness rather than working for something. Ninth command, two more to go. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbour. So speaking truth is of paramount importance to God because He's the God of truth. If you don't like what someone has done, you're not to presume on someone's character as why a decision was made. If you spread that gossip based on assumptions rather than fact, then you're giving false testimony about another. And this is evil. It's wrong. We need to seek to understand the truth of events and ask the questions rather than assume and not understand. And we're definitely not to spin a story to make someone's life worse or hide the truth from a neighbour. 10th command. You shall not covet your neighbour's house, you shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour. Wanting in your heart what someone else has. Now this can drive you crazy if you let it. It can definitely drive you crazy. You can be so envious of someone and what they have that you covet one or many things. We are to be content with what we have been given and give thanks to God for what we have. Coveting what others have will lead you to be thankless and discontent. So 10 commands God gave His people at Mount Sinai. These are good commands. They are good because they come from a good God. When the Israelites first heard these commands, well, this was their response. Remember, they're at a mountain, God's on fire before them, so that's the image. So when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." So the people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Well, you heard it. The people trembled with fear. And they don't want God to speak to them anymore. Moses' response is significant. "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." So these commands from a loving God are given to keep His people from sinning and to instill a fear in these people so that they would hear His commands and obey them, not ignore them, but obey them. Well, the important question is, can we obey? Can we obey? I want to say quite clearly, we can't obey God completely. We can't obey God completely. I have disobeyed every single one of those 10 commandments, whether in my heart, thoughts, or actions. I deserve death because I've not kept the commands that God charged His people to keep. guilty as charged. And I want to say that we all deserve death because I'm absolutely sure you all haven't kept all these commands completely. And it's so sad that God has brought death to humanity because of human rebellion. So we can't obey God perfectly. God gave commands to his people, and his people couldn't keep the commands. So there's one clear message in this, I think. We are in desperate need of God to save us because we are in a mess trying to do the right thing ourselves. And we can thank our wonderful God that he sent his Son, who obeys his Father completely and perfectly. Jesus obeys God his Father perfectly. So as we heard from the Gospel according to John earlier, Jesus says, "If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." Jesus always keeps his Father's commands. He's the Son of God. Jesus is God in flesh. And Jesus remains in his Father's love. And Jesus wants those who live for him to remain in his love and therefore to love one another. So we can't obey God's commands completely, but Jesus does for us. Our security and protection from God's punishment is solely through Jesus. Jesus became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we are right with God, not because of how good we are in obeying God's commands, but because of how good Jesus is. In Christ, in him, we become righteous. So if you want to stand before God the Father one day who formed you and gave you life, then you need Jesus. You need to trust in him. And we need to remember that God's commands are good for us. Imagine for a moment life where everyone willingly disobeys the Ten Commandments. Not a scene of happiness in my mind. But obeying the Ten Commandments in the light of Jesus will bring a scene of joy. Joy. Now, we might try as hard as we can not to have any other gods or not make any other idols or not give false testimony of a neighbour, but we will fail. We need to acknowledge to God when we do fail. So reflect on the commandments and consider what you need to do to confess to God. And the more you know Jesus as you read God's word, the more you become aware of your tendency to sin and that you turn away from God's good path for you. So as you confess your sin to God, you're demonstrating love for Jesus. You're saying to God, your Heavenly Father, you deserve all that I am. You deserve all that I am. And what's wonderful in our God, as we hear every Sunday here, that there is forgiveness from our wonderful God as we confess. And our confession isn't necessarily always just to God, but it can be to one another as well and to people that we might hurt. But we want to be a forgiving people as our God is forgiving. So thank God for his love towards us in sending Jesus. Now I just want to highlight a few groups of people just as we reflect on the Ten Commandments and how we live in response. Parents, you can help your children reflect on the Ten Commandments. An app called the New City Catechism, or it's also on a website as well, or you can grab buy books. This helps teach your children the Ten Commandments and actually any beliefs that have been passed down from the church of centuries of who God is, but definitely on the Ten Commandments. And it'll be really helpful for you to reflect on the Ten Commandments with your children and consider how you're going in living for Jesus as it points to Jesus, the one we need. If married, then talk with your spouse about how you're going in keeping the commandments out of love for Jesus. Or anyone, chat to someone and be honest about your life. My wife, Crystal, highly recommends a book called 10 Words to Live by Jen Wilkin. Crystal describes it as an excellent book to reflect on the Ten Commandments and how to live in the light of Jesus now. So consider using that to help you reflect on growing in loving Jesus more. But we all can thank our God for giving us these commands to know what we are not to do so that we live lives that are pleasing to Him. We can all do that. God is to be obeyed. So commend these laws. These laws are good. Commend them because they're from a good God. And uphold God's law as fulfilled in Christ because there is no better way to live. And as Paul alluded to earlier in the kids' spot, Jesus taught us that the two greatest commands come out of these commands are to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. Doesn't mean these commands are obsolete, but he fulfills them in how we're to go about our lives, loving God, loving our neighbour. So though we fail, we know Jesus, the true man, the true Son of God, the one who shows us the way to live obediently to God. And these commands are to create a better life as we love one another out of love of God who first loved us. So rest in Jesus, love him, pursue him, and earnestly work at keeping these commandments and know that in Christ, the Holy Spirit will remind you of Jesus' teachings so that you choose Jesus over sin. Please join me as I pray. Heavenly Father, please help each one of us to give careful thought to these commandments. They're from you, our Maker. And may we want to live for Jesus, who fulfills these commands, who obeys them perfectly. And we want to consider how we might need to change different things in our life so that we would love Jesus more and more, but also be ready to acknowledge when we fail and confess to you, not hide and ignore. But may we support one another, encourage one another in wanting to obey you more and more out of love for each other, not out of spite. So please cause within this church a deeper love for you as you call us to in response to these commands to love you with our hearts, soul, mind, and strength, to love a neighbour as ourselves. And that would see more people wanting to know Jesus as we live out or these commandments. These are good. They're to create a better life. So would we see more people wanting to be a part of living for you and experience the better life, true life, for how we're to live in this world? Thanks, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.